Kara Francis, and I'm pronouncing your first name right, Kara, right? It's not Kara, is it?
Yeah, you got it right the first time. It's Kara.
Okay. I think most Karas I know are Karas, but I know a few Karas. I meant to ask that pregame and I didn't, but Kara Francis of Kara Francis Divorce Coaching. Welcome to Luncheon and a Divorce Lawyer.
Thanks for having me.
So, I've played some sports and I think I have a business coach. So, I've had some coaches in my day. So what the heck is a divorce coach?
That's a really good question and bringing it up in the context of business and sports. Because divorce coach is definitely different. So as a coach, I provide my clients emotional support during all stages of the divorce journey. So whether that is the decision to get divorced, as well as support during when you're in the trenches of your case, to rebuilding and moving on after divorce. And when I say emotional support, there's really kind of two prongs to that. It's, of course, providing that safe space for clients to process their emotions and get them out. But it's also really about building awareness. So, awareness meaning being able to identify the emotions, of course, but also start to really dig deep into the thoughts that lead to those emotions and their core, who they are, and how those emotions really impact how they show up, both in their divorce and in life in general. And once we kind of are able to build that emotional awareness, it really kind of segues quite nicely into the other component of what I do as a coach, which is really goal setting strategies and support, really digging into what the client wants and why that's important to them and what's getting in the way. Because oftentimes it's quite easy to have a vision of how you want your life to look after divorce. But actually getting through the divorce process itself, is another thing entirely. So just being there for that support system and to help keep them on track for the goals that they want to reach.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm intrigued by, yeah, just kind of like the broad and what's all encompassed in a divorce? Because right in the kind of like divorce lawyer hat, I feel like, yeah, there's like a lot of components that sort of like aren't getting addressed just generally, and they're surely not necessarily within my capabilities as a lawyer, right? It's not in my training. Necessarily. I'm a human being and I'm actually married myself. And right, there's certain right emotional intelligences, skills, whatever. But right, there's a lot in that divorce case that to me is not getting addressed. So I think it's pretty awesome that kind of like you're filling in that gap. Do you agree with that statement? There's a lot in the divorce that's like not getting addressed. Is that a true statement or am I off base?
No,
A lo
you're
lot of
right on.
needs, right? And a lot of like human needs, right? I mean, that are just like, I mean, it's a difficult process.
Yes, you are right on. And oftentimes, as a former divorce lawyer, I felt like I was trying to be a jack of all trades. You know, I was trying to, of course, address the legal issues first and foremost, but also I would get clients on the phone or even via email where I could just tell the emotions were under the surface and were really driving a lot of their decisions and reactions during the case, as well as getting financial questions thrown my way and estate planning questions. And I almost felt like I knew deep down that I could not serve all of those needs. And it was unrealistic and unfair for any divorce lawyer to try to serve all of those needs because it's asking a lot and it impacts all aspects of your life, and different professionals serve different roles. And it's okay to kind of build your team around those needs as opposed to turning to your lawyer for every single issue of every component of your case. Because in the long run, if you don't really process the emotions with somebody who's been trained on how to listen in a different way, I know listening as a coach compared to listening as a lawyer is just so totally different. Lawyers are kind of trained to be more evaluative and you know, take in what the, of course, listen intently to what the client is saying, but then kind of immediately think of, okay, what are the options based upon what the law says, and kind of go into fix it mode. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's the lawyer's role. That's what they're supposed to be doing. But often I feel like a client would likely walk away feeling like, okay, well, I know you're telling me what my options are, but I'm still angry. I'm still frustrated. That's not right. Fair. That doesn't seem right. And so what do they do with all of that energy? It kind of just spills over into the case in general and just kind of impacts how they show up from that point forward.
Mm. Yeah. I like the listening and kind of the presence idea, like being present. And I mean, what you were describing there, I think, is what my wife gives me feedback on in terms of, right, I'm trying to fix her problems rather than just listening and sort of empathizing or something. And I know we talk about listening as, we talk about listening a ton in our firm. I know, just like, I even have this cool new phone system during the pandemic, you know, where you had to figure out cloud-based stuff for everything. And it really has a great way where you can look at analytics on how long, like, you're on calls and stuff. And we really look at that really closely, because, like, I feel mm-hmm. like duration of, like, calls and listening really matters, even on the legal side. But I can, you know, certainly kind of get at your distinction and understand your distinction between kind of like lawyer listening and more coach, therapist, counselor sort of listening. And they're not the same. I wouldn't think, even if you're trying to be better like myself. So why are you doing what you're doing right now? You're a divorce coach, I think you said, for 6-ish months or so. Why are you there, and how did you get there? Like, start wherever you want.
I will try to be mindful of time, because I feel like that's something I could talk about for hours. So I will try to be concise. I think, you know, from a pretty young age, I knew I wanted to help people in the divorce world. I had a sibling who went through a divorce when I was about middle school age. And thankfully it was a positive first exposure for me to divorce, because I really got to see her transform into a different person, and really tap into her potential of who she really was and what she wanted to do with her life once she had broken free from that unhealthy relationship. Mm-hmm. And our relationship with each other even improved. So I just got to see how divorce could actually be a very positive experience. And so I thought, you know, okay, well, this really stirs something in me, this idea of divorce, and I would like to help people in this world. So I felt like the way that it made most sense to me at that time was to become a divorce lawyer. So I kind of had that as my guidepost, you know, throughout high school, college, and law school. And that was kind of always the end goal for me. And I took all the tests and did all of the things to get there, and started my legal career. And then during that time frame, I also met and married my college sweetheart. I married at 28. And I think what really became clear to me as I hit my 30s after a few years of marriage is that I was really in conflict with the lifestyle that I was living and trying to lead, which was that urban lawyer lifestyle in Chicago, compared to where I grew up and how I was raised. You know, I grew up in a very small town in Ohio, and very strong values of family, raising a family, working hard. So those were always in conflict. And really when COVID hit and things kind of slowed down and got really quiet and I didn't have any distractions, I was finally kind of able to tap into how I was feeling both about my marriage and my career. Mm. And I made the difficult decision to get divorced from my spouse during COVID, which was interesting timing. And, you know, even as a lawyer who had been practicing for years at that point, when it came mm-hmm. time for my own divorce, I really realized that I was no exception to those feelings of fear and guilt and shame and self-doubt, and just realizing, you know, even though I know how to do this from a legal perspective, I'm really getting stuck here with my emotions and just worrying, you know, am I making the right decision? And what are things going to look like on the other side? And that fear did hold me back for a while. I made it through, and it was a very powerful and transformative experience. I learned a lot about myself. Mm-hmm. And then 2021 came around and things are kind of going back to normal. And, you know, my career as a lawyer just wasn't feeling the same for me. And I think what happened for me was I had just been through such an incredible experience. And for me to just kind of go back to life as normal, just didn't feel as fulfilling for me as it used to. And I almost felt like I want to share my purpose in a different way based upon what I went through. And coaching really started to resonate with me. And I had some clients as a lawyer who had coaches, and I was just able to see what a positive impact they had in their cases of just being that sounding board and that source of emotional support. And so it kind of just felt like a natural transition for me. And that's kind of why I am where I am today.
That's a powerful story. I mean, I think it's great and impactful, right, in different fields. But I mean, you have professional competence, but then you can also say, hey, I've gone through this, right? And you can share that stuff. I mean, that's I would value that as a coaching client of yours. Somebody who can just kind of like explain how this works versus somebody who's lived it and explain how it works, I think it's like twice as good or something. Maybe not twice as good, but I can't imagine that wouldn't resonate with a lot of people walking through a divorce process. So Kara, so hey, I'm looking at your website. Do I want to do a screen share? Would that be awkward?
No,
I'm looking at your website. Well, then you're going to like self-evaluate your photos or something. I think they look pretty nice or something, but I would think like I'm looking at myself or something. It's like, oh, how did I look?
That's an interesting point.
That's just a funny thing. So here, I'm looking at this process here, and I'm going to cover up your face with the Zoom screen, but such as it is. Mm-hmm. And if you don't mind, I'm going to talk about it in the context of like a hypothetical divorce case. Because, mm-hmm. right, I'm thinking of, I don't know, we talk about our ideal client, right, at our law firm, right? Like for your like marketing and sales and stuff, right? You want to mm-hmm. like narrowly have this one person. And at our firm, it's this woman named Monica Garcia, who's a realtor in Oak Park with a couple kids, who's about 40. So, but then I think what's a fair statement on the average length of a divorce? Is it two-ish years? I mean, it's so hard. Like you have these like national stats, but then if the national stats to me are like not that applicable to a large urban area, what would you say? Is 2 years a fair approximation for us to just talk through our hypothetical?
Sure. Yeah. I know as fellow lawyers, we always say, well, we can't guarantee anything, but, I feel like 2 years is a pretty good average. Of course, if it's more acrimonious, it will take longer. If it's the most amicable divorce ever, it might be shorter. But yeah, I think that's fair.
But if I'm Monica Garcia and I'm thinking about Monica Garcia was married to an architect in Oak Park, and she found out that he was, you know, unfaithful to her. And you know, I guess, so she's kind of having some questions about her divorce. And so you have these different processes, or what would you call them? Like steps that mm-hmm. you're referencing here on your website in your divorce coaching. One of them is called the awakening. What is that? What's somebody dealing with at that stage? Where are we sort of in our little 2 year hypothetical divorce?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the programs were really designed after my own journey, as well as seeing some clients go through the process as well. So the awakening is really about processing and accepting the decision of whether divorce is the answer for you, or whether something short of divorce is the right path for you, whether that's a trial, separation, or reconciliation. And as a coach from the get-go, I am not invested or leading my client towards any particular outcome. It's all about the client building that awareness of who they are, what they want in their life, and what they need to do to make that happen. And so processing the emotions that are coming up about potentially being divorced and just building that clarity and confidence in their decision. I know for quite a while, I personally waffled back and forth. And I think especially as a lawyer, just the fear of the process itself after what I had seen. So just really about processing and accepting that decision, whether you were the one making the decision or your spouse made the decision, and you now have to get on board with the fact that this is going to happen.
Yeah, I like what you said about sort of a neutral perspective, sort of sounding board, because I definitely know in divorce lawyer land, I feel like you're not getting neutral, even like at the initial like consult stage. I don't think, and I selfishly, I don't think enough lawyers are neutral enough at that stage in terms of where, right, where this person needs to go. And I don't know, anecdotally, I wonder, yeah, like in somebody's personal life, like you never know what, like what voices a person is really getting. I mean, so I think that's cool that you can be that for somebody. Now, the next, what did you call them? Programs? What was your phrase?
Yeah, they're different coaching programs that okay. I offer. Yes. So, And each of them is kind of targeted to meet the client where the client is. And some clients I may meet at number two or number three or even number four. It just depends. I'm happy and willing to take a client all the way from the first stage to the last stage. But there's also times where a client's a couple years after divorce and is just having some problems and some blocks rebuilding. And so we'll start at stage four. So it kind of just depends where the client's at when I come into the picture.
I see. These other three stages, we're talking about the leap. Have you decided to end your marriage? Any thoughts or kind of pieces of advice in that area, the leap, and what is it? And kind of, you know, what are you doing with what are you doing with Monica at that stage? Where are we in our 2-year hypothetical divorce?
So I think with the leap, it's really about you've kind of gone through this journey of deciding how you want your future to look. And this is for the client who has gone through that thought process and has landed on divorce being the right answer. But they haven't really taken any steps forward yet as far as having that talk with their spouse and kind of ripping that Band-Aid off. And a lot of that is due to fears about what's on the other side. You know, how is my spouse going to react? Is this going to be amicable or is this going to be very contentious? Where am I going to end up financially? What's the parenting schedule going to look like? And it's almost, you've come too far to really turn back. But you're taking that next step forward, taking that leap to starting the divorce case is intimidating and overwhelming. And so we work together to process those feelings and kind of set up on a path for success so that you're kind of confidently as you can starting the divorce process instead of kind of just dipping your toe in very cautiously and then you're not really sure.
Do you spend some time really kind of thinking, I guess, what I would call the end, like what you desire at the end, right? Start with the end in mind sort of thing. Do you do that sort of thing?
Yeah, we do a lot of visioning. So just thinking about, like you said, how you want life to look on the other side and kind of working backwards from there. And we really break things down, you know, yes, the overarching goal may be to be divorced and financially secure and have a healthy relationship with your co-parent. Those might be very high overarching goals.
Right.
And so what we do in coaching is we really, really break it down into the nitty-gritty, step-by-step. What's the timing look like? What resources and support do you need? What do you think is going to get in your way? How are you going to hold yourself accountable? Things like that, so that it's kind of just like little building blocks along the way.
That sounds like something that could be really valuable. I'll tell you, I think something I believe I've learned and evolved with as a family law attorney for, you know, going on 18 years now, is just family law, right? A divorce, they're like the definition of success for the client can be so many different things. That's what I found. And I know we do this, like we call it an intro call at the start of the representation, where really I'm trying to do a great job of, and you know, not hitting all the boxes like you are necessarily, but even just even on the legal stuff of really defining like what's a win for you, Monica Garcia, the hypothetical. Because right, it's not like, I don't know, family law is all I really practice now, but I don't know, like you represent somebody in a real estate closing or a traffic ticket or something. I think like success is sort of obvious.
Yeah.
Whereas family law, I mean, somebody wants it just done as fast as possible. Somebody wants, you know, this relationship with their children. Somebody's all about the money. I mean, there's so many different ways to define success. And yeah, if you can be doing that and assisting somebody in doing that, I mean, to me, that has immense value. I like that kind of like right at the start, right at, you know, pre-start or whatever.
Totally.
So I guess I'm, yeah. And then your final two programs, Breaking Free and the Phoenix. Breaking Free, is that when you're serving somebody really in the midst of their divorce process?
Yes, that's what
divorce legal process.
Yes, that's what, and that's what you and I probably know the best is you're kind of in the trenches of the case, right? So you've got discovery requests flying back and forth, you've got pleadings that you have to respond to, potentially depositions and hearings and mediations and negotiations. And it's a lot. It can be very draining even on the attorneys. So just to imagine being in the client's shoes where this is something that is directly impacting their life. This type of support is helpful to kind of, again, give them that space to just kind of vent, because I find that this is probably the most frustrating phase of the case. And this sense of lack of control over what's happening to you, you know, whether it's lack of control of what your spouse is doing, their lawyer, the judge, and just trying to focus on the things that the client can control and kind of staying focused on their end goals and helping hold them accountable to that when things get really rocky.
That sounds great. 'Cause yeah, I mean, feel like on the attorney side, I don't know what your experience was. I find that people are trying to use you as the attorney for the sounding board, which really probably isn't the best, you know, use of your attorney. Probably, right? I mean, if probably getting a little expensive if you know you're kind of being the sounding board. Or they're just totally absent, and then there's probably right some needs there in terms of communication and venting and stuff that aren't getting addressed.
And, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it can also help them in this stage where if they're getting really hung up on what's quote fair and what they quote deserve, it can really kind of get them stuck in settlement positions that are not going to be able to meet the other person. And it can kind of cause the case to drag on. So just to have that sounding board so that they feel seen and heard about what's coming up for them and just kind of releasing some of that, I think is very helpful to kind of help them move forward and try to see the forest for the trees and get it done.
And what, talk about the Phoenix stage. That's a great word. I feel like all change organizations love to be the Phoenix.
Yeah, so this is of course rising up from the ashes. Your whole world as you knew it, so to speak, has kind of been burned to the ground. And so it's time to rise up and decide how you want this next chapter to look. Like, not even just physical, but internally, how do you want to show up moving forward? What did you learn that you want to kind of carry forward with you? How do you want things to be different, whether that's household, career, relationships, and just kind of also processing the fact that there is this grief associated with once the divorce is over, and that judgment is stamped, the grief of the loss of your spouse and the loss of an identity that you had built some people for decades. It's really important to process that, because if you don't, it's probably going to show up in later aspects of your life, whether that's holding you back from pursuing certain goals and dreams or impacting your future relationships. And so this is kind of, you've been through all of this really challenging stuff, and now it's about how do you want things to be different, and what have you learned from this experience?
Are there particular struggles you've seen or experienced kind of in that, just sort of like the post-divorce stage of the game? I'm curious about that myself.
So a lot of people have created this life that they thought was going to be their lives forever. And when you wake up the next day and you realize things are going to be different, and some people can look at that as an opportunity and it excites them. Other people can look at it with a sense of almost coming from the place of feeling like they were the victim, like they did not want this. This is not the life that they planned for, and kind of feeling lost about what they're going to do next. What is my purpose and where do I go from here? Everything I knew has kind of just been flipped upside down. And I find that especially if the divorce was not my client's decision, was not initiated by my client, those feelings are real and can certainly come up and be an obstacle to kind of rebuilding afterwards.
Yeah, the idea of processing grief is probably a whole like doctoral dissertation. So I won't even probably dip my toe in there, but I certainly see that in the divorce context, in people dealing with like the death of somebody. I feel like they don't grieve, and then you just like see it in their life for years forward, because kind of this is pop psychology, but like kind of like it wasn't dealt with at the time where you really, really needed that sounding board, probably some therapy. And then it kind of is like, what would you ca sort of like a weight on your life in a sense. So, and yeah, I would think, well, I don't want to pontificate too much, but it would be hard to. This was some great advice somebody gave to me once, not in the divorce context, but in a lot of ways, the divorce context is another process of change, right? And I remember this guy, it was kind of a business coach, and he was like, you could be your past or you could be your future. And it sounds kind of simple, but it really helped me because definitely I've had some struggles where you're kind of like living in the past, or like my family of origin's big on like nostalgia. They always like to talk about the past. And I felt like it really, I think it hindered me when versus like, hey, start to have something like these dreams that I'm going for or whatever. And but nonetheless, I mean, those are my philosophical experiences, sort of tangential to what you're talking about, but just right general change processes. You've said it's just been about 6 months now. Are you seeing any sort of trends on kind of like where are you seeing the needs or the demand, if you will, for your different programs? Is it, these four boxes we talked about, sort of pre-divorce, thinking about the decision to divorce, breaking free, and the Phoenix? What are you seeing? Or too early to say.
I'm sure I will continue to learn and notice things over time. But what I think is going to come up a lot is just stage one, which is that awakening stage. that's a very scary and lonely place to be in. I know personally that it was one of those things where I was having certain thoughts and I felt bad for even having the thoughts. Mm-hmm. And to live in that space where you're alone and you're scared and you're not sure what you want to do with your life. And especially if you have been married for a long time and have children together, mm-hmm. and thinking just about the ramifications of which path to go down. I think that that is a very real place. And if I can offer support in that area so that somebody does not feel alone in making that decision, and isn't feeling like they're being led towards one path or the other, but really just giving them the space to safely share what they're thinking about and go deep into their core of mm-hmm. where do I want to go from here? And is my marriage going to be able to serve that for me? Or is it time to move on to the next chapter? And I think that kind of sets the tone for the rest of the process too. If you're coming from it from a perspective of clarity and confidence, as opposed to fear and self-doubt, I feel like mm-hmm. that tone is going to kind of carry you through the entire process. So I think that that's vitally important.
I would think so. Yeah. So yeah, I'll be curious what you experience going forward in your divorce coaching programs. I think those are well defined. I like those four sort of stages. And so thanks again for joining us, Kara. Who's your program for? I'm you know, is there a right? I talked about Monica Garcia, our ideal client. Who's your ideal client?
My ideal client is somebody who really embodies three qualities. And that is, first and foremost, honesty with others and with themselves. I think honesty with yourself is so important, and not kind of just going along with the flow of things because it's what you feel like you should do. Mm-hmm. So the honesty, the openness, so being vulnerable is crucial to coaching because it really helps us learn more about each other. And it helps me kind of dig deeper into what's coming up for you. And then willingness. So willingness to look at things from a different perspective, willingness to make a change, willingness to do some challenging growth in order to kind of take your life to that next level and take it to the level that you want it to be at.
Yeah, those are, thank you for sharing those things. And Kara, one question here. What's your best piece of advice for someone approaching or in the midst of a divorce process?
This is something that I definitely struggled with in my own divorce, and I still struggle mm-hmm. with in everyday life today. And that is just taking things one day at a time. Mm-hmm. I feel like divorce is an uncomfortable, challenging space to be in. And oftentimes clients just want to get through it as quickly as possible because it's scary and uncomfortable to be in that space. But if you don't kind of take your time and really process everything one day at a time and be very intentional about it, you may find yourself on the other side with a lot of residual feelings that are kind of cropping up, and that could lead to feelings of regret or resentment, and just continued self-doubt about what your future looks like. So I think one day at a time, because it's easy to get wrapped up in trying to get it over as soon as possible. And if you take it one day at a time, I think that helps you learn and grow more as a person.
Thanks for that piece of advice. Kara, where can somebody find and hire you to be their divorce coach?
Yeah, so I am on several social media channels. So I'm on LinkedIn. I am on Instagram. My handle is at Kara Francis Coaching. And then my website is carafranciscoaching.com. So if somebody is interested in working together, the first step is just to schedule a free consultation with me to see what's going on, which program I think is the best fit, and if we're a good fit together for coaching.
Cool. Well, thanks again for sharing your expertise, Kara. I really appreciated you joining the show.
Thanks for having me. This was fun.
Take care.